everyone. Welcome to the podcast. This week, we're going to talk about, of course, Sydney Sweeney's boobs. I've decided to go full grifter. There was this one guy on Twitter named Jonathan Paulson, who said, he's really milking it. And that was a funny double entendre. But this thing is worth talking about, and it's worth talking about because people like talking about it. There's an audience for this stuff. And I think that there is something very deep here. Yes, these tweets are trolls, and you could say, it's very funny, and it's just being stupid. But there are stupid things people say that are just stupid, and then there are stupid things that people say that are trolls and actually have something true to them. And this is why I think this is the difference between this, there's a difference. You could tell when someone is just saying something that's just ridiculous, and then when someone is saying something that actually does get at a political truth. And I've always thought that one of these things that is underexplored is the implicit parts of the culture war. There's the explicit parts. What's the explicit parts? The explicit parts are whether a trans person can use the bathroom of their preferred sex or the sex that they identify with. There's affirmative action. There's policy or how institutions work, or even norms and practices like announcing your pronouns, which isn't required by law in most contexts, but something that people do. And as soon as someone announces their pronouns in their bio or when you meet them, their political views. You could probably predict their political views on most issues with 90% accuracy. And we talk about pronouns. People talk about policy. People talk about pronouns and these norms that are very explicit, or even words people say, like undocumented migrant versus illegal immigrant, or even words that people use that are considered slurs or not slurs, or considered dog whistling, like calling a young black man a thug. If you're in a liberal circle, that's something close to calling him the N-word. Probably not nearly that bad, but still pretty bad. In a conservative circle, if there are no liberals around, you're going to be fine and no one's going to care. And so these are things that, we understand these differences, but these culture war differences, they go much deeper. Just sort of what it means to be a man or a woman, or how a man interacts with a woman or vice versa. And it's not like pronouns in the sense that each side is tolerant enough. In my piece, yes, Sydney Sweeney's boobs are anti-woke, I talked about how in liberal environments, they tend to wear pantsuits more. In conservative environments, women tend to wear dresses, traditionally attractive hair and makeup. It's not like a woman who dresses like a conservative can't be on a liberal network. Jen Psaki is actually a very good example. Was a former spokeswoman for the Obama administration, then now is a host on MSNBC. A good example of a woman who's conventionally attractive and dresses in a conventionally attractive way and is nonetheless a liberal. So these people do exist, and there are probably less commonly conservative women who are are much more homely or don't do a lot to emphasize their appearance. Try to think of examples, but there's not examples like Jen Psaki that come quickly to mind, but they exist. They're out there. Nonetheless, there are broad tendencies. And so to go back to how this all started, a friend sent me a tweet just showing the SNL video of Sydney Sweeney thanking everyone for being there. It's so pedestrian the way she talks, the things she says, there's nothing remarkable about it at all. She just has very big breasts and they're obviously there. And then I tweet, wokeness is dead. It's probably become, it might be my most viewed tweet of all time. It's certainly in the top three or four. There's the Jeffrey Epstein poll. There's Elon Musk doesn't have a master's degree. I think those are the only two that are sort of competitive with it. I think those are the top three. I don't know exactly which order. I think this, I checked, this is bigger than Epstein at least. I don't know if it's bigger than Elon Musk. I think they weren't even counting views back then. Elon Musk doesn't have a master's degree, so we don't know views at least. And you could probably look at likes and stuff, but I don't care that much. And so this got, as I last checked, over 61 million views. It inspired think piece after think piece. I mean, these journalists are, you hear about journalists being laid off, but there was a dozen of them who were able to write some kind of think piece on this. There was one in Slate. There was one in like the New York Post. I think there was one in the Guardian. The Guardian one, which I linked to in the article that I follow up with, actually takes the point seriously. And it's not just there's two ways leftists can deal with this. And this is different actually from, and I think this shows what's the difference between now and say 2015. Or no, 2015 is going back too far, between now and say 2019 or 2018. And so there's two types. One of them are like, what are you even talking about? Wokeness is dead. Yeah, I thought about it for like 2 seconds when I tweeted that. It's funny, like some of the most well-performing tweets are the ones you put least effort into or you think the least about. So there's a denial. There's a denial kind of way of responding to it. And then there's one who's saying, well, these conservatives, these racist white supremacists and so forth, they like this normal white womanhood. And even in the Guardian article, they don't like attack Sydney Sweeney as being white supremacist or anything like that, which this actually would have been a take in probably 2017 or 2018. And there was it was crazy for a while. I mean, between the 20, you know, I think the peak is 2014 to 2020 or 2021. I think after 2020, it burned this stuff burned itself out. But you would see just anything would be white supremacy, and you couldn't just be like a normal white person who's just like not political and getting a lot of attention for your beauty, and so this one piece in the Guardian says beauty has always been political. And desirability absolutely dictates people are able to navigate society. And then it says, you know, it's not the Guardian article. And then it says, conservatives despise fat women. They like this, you know, they like this attractive, slim, blonde woman. They don't say actually Sydney Sweeney, but it's interesting because she is, she even makes Sydney Sweeney to be a excited victim. It's like, says women, Sweeney included, deserve better than having to endure this kind of low grade discourse just so like misogynists can defend a vision of femininity that is actually used, that isn't actually useful to everyday women in any real way. So the interesting thing about Sydney Sweeney, I didn't know this until after the tweet. She went to a party, like her mom's or dad's party. It was called a hoedown. They had this thing, and it was. And they were one of her dad. It was her mom's birthday party. Her dad was wearing a like one of those Blue Lives Matter t-shirts. So he's there. He's got that shirt. They're all wearing hats, red hats that say "Make 60 Great Again." So it's a nod to Trump. And then between that and the Blue Lives flag, you could tell that this is a family of like MAGAs, right? And she doesn't denounce her family. She says, oh, you know, jump into – she said her statement in response to this was just a tweet that said something like, this is – you're jumping to conclusions about our politics. Doesn't say like, I abhor racism or I'm going to donate money to the black community or anything like that. And this wasn't a news story. I mean, it was a little bit of a news story. That's why I know about it. It was BuzzFeed talked about it. But the era of journalists just – The reign of terror, that's over. Like, Sydney Sweeney comes from a long line of MAGA. MAGA, long line of MAGAs. At least one generation of MAGAs. And she's not ashamed of her family. She puts pictures of them on Instagram, doesn't go out of her way to hide it, doesn't really defend it, but still, like, doesn't hide it. And she is, she just hosts Saturday Night Live, and everyone is like, why would anyone ever have a problem with this? And so, yes, I know wokeness is being institutionalized in many ways. Biden's judicial appointee is just to take a random thing that's, I've been recently thinking about, 2/3 non-white and 2/3 women. I mean, it's just, it boggles the mind. 2/3 are women, really? A federal judgeship is like the elite of the elite of the legal profession. And sorry, nothing else similar are women that overrepresented, but he's appointing 2/3 women to the federal judge. 2/3 non-white. I mean, if they were all Asian, you could sometimes see a disparity like
you
that.
You have reached the end of the free recording for this episode of Clown Car. To listen to the rest of the episode, please consider becoming a paid subscriber.